Okay, so here's the first rule of surfing. Paddle before the wave gets to you. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. No, seriously, if you got your notepad, write this down. The first rule of surfing is paddle before the wave gets to you. If you're ever trying to surf and you don't start paddling before the wave gets to you, you will never, ever, ever catch that wave. And this isn't just a rule for surfing, this is a rule in life. If you wait until the thing happens, you won't be able to go where it's going. Are you with me? You are not. Let me say it another way. Be ready so you don't have to get ready. See, that's what Advent is about. Advent is about getting ready for Christmas. Now, it feels weird to be saying it right now, but society has changed. Can I get the first slide? Yeah. So this was out quite a while ago, legit ad. Let me read it for you if you're listening online. Only 23 shopping days until Christmas. That kind of frames what Christmas became. Christmas became the shopping holiday. This was released on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden you enter the holiday season where it's all about getting the right gift for the right person. And this particular company thought the right gift is, well, in case you can't see it, gifts that say Merry Christmas with every puff. Camel cigarettes and Prince Albert pipe tobacco. Not a sponsor. I'm not endorsing that that's what you get. But right, something happened in our society. And my daughter, if you don't know, works at Disney. And she goes, this magical thing happens at midnight on the 31st of October. Halloween goes away and Christmas comes. Anybody else just feel rushed with all the holidays? Yeah. And so we're looking today at the traditional first Sunday in Advent reading because our Christmas season starts when Thanksgiving starts. And I want to pose the question, what happens if we actually start paddling now? What happens when we get ready? If you have your Bibles, open them up, and just so you know, it's really 49 shopping days from right now until Christmas, just if any of you were super nervous. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, the traditional first Sunday in Advent, the first Sunday, how do we get ready for Christmas? We start here. Mark 11, it says this. Now they withdrew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you and immediately, as you enter it, you will find a donkey colt tied, and on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and will send it back immediately. And they went, and they found a donkey colt tied to a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said, why are you untying this donkey's colt? And they said to them that Jesus had said they said to, and they let them go. And they brought the donkey colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it, and many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy palm branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went ahead of him followed, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming king of the father David. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when they had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Does that seem a weird way to prepare for Christmas to anybody else? If you're not familiar with it, this is the Palm Sunday text. This is the text that starts Holy Week. So why would the people who set this up go, hey, that's a great way to start Christmas? Here's the thing. Glance back to move forward. If you've hung out here for a while, you've picked up on the acronym ONE, that the Bible is one narrative of events. These aren't made up separate stories. These are events that all the way from Genesis through Revelation, as Pastor Scott just beautifully showed over the last several weeks, are woven together, that when you get to this point, to move forward, glance back and see what's happened. And so today we're going to do a little ONE with this donkey. See, when a figure, when a character shows up in the Bible, pay close attention to where else that thing has shown up. And so we're just going to surf the text, and I'd encourage you, if you've never done Bible reading at home, look at these texts on the handout and just like spend Monday reading one, spend Tuesday reading another, and just get familiar with all of these events. Because as we glance backwards, we can move forward in our life. First time a donkey shows up in the Bible. Anybody know? I didn't. I had to use Google. Google's your friend. But Genesis 22, and this is intriguing. In Genesis 22, it's the first time donkey shows up in the Bible. And it's the story of Abram. God had chosen Abram, and he made a covenant with him. He said, your identity is found in me. I am adopting you as my people, and I'm going to give you all these descendants. Well, every other nation, the way they got God to do things is they'd offer sacrifices, and if your sacrifice wasn't big enough to move God, you offered a bigger sacrifice and a bigger sacrifice and a bigger sacrifice until God did what you wanted God to do. And the biggest sacrifice you could give is your own kid. And so when Abram finally had a kid in Genesis 22, we get to this intriguing part where the first donkey is mentioned. And here's what it says. It said, after these things, God tested Abram. And he said to him, Abram. And Abram said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and head to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I shall tell you. So Abram rose early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey. See, when the first time something shows up, pay attention to it. The donkey, from this point on, becomes this symbol of starting a new journey, of heading out in a new direction. See, they had this pattern where they started and they knew how to bribe God, but God comes in and intercedes and says, don't offer your son. I've provided another offering. All of this, by the way, is pointing to the cross. But when the first hearers heard the Jesus story, they knew the story of their first donkey. See, the first time things show up matters. I mean, stop and think about it. If we were sitting in a smaller group and we were all around a coffee table, and I said, tell me about your first kiss. You're not just telling about your first kiss. You're telling a whole narrative. Tell me about the first time you packed all your stuff up in the car and drove to that very first apartment. Do you remember the feelings? See, when they heard donkey, they remembered this time where God changed the trajectory of everything. Let's fast forward a little bit. Later on, you have this donkey show up. Abraham has a kid named Isaac, who has a kid named Jacob, whose name gets changed to Israel, and he has 12 kids, and they become the 12 tribes of Israel. And as he's on his deathbed, he's blessing his kids. And see, some of his kids really understand metaphor well, so he gives them a team mascot. Anybody else have a team mascot? Yeah, I'm not a sports guy. Pastor Scott is. Pastor Scott has taught me many things, and one of them is mascots matter. I asked him the other day, we were having lunch, and I said, hey, Scott, what would happen if I wore a Bears jersey to a Packers game? He said, I'd become the senior pastor a whole lot quicker because you'd be dead. Yeah, right. Mascots matter. So all of a sudden, Israel is on his deathbed, we flip over to Genesis 49, and you see him giving his sons mascots. And in chapter 8 through 10, you see him look at Judah. I'm sorry, I just gave away the punchline. These are like connect the dots if you're taking notes. He gives the Lion of Judah. Who's heard that one before? Lion of Judah? He's like, Judah, your mascot's the lion. But that's not the only one he did. 14 through 15, he gives the donkey mascot to Issachar. He goes, Issachar, you're a donkey. I mean, just stop for a second. Anybody have brothers? What if that was your dad's blessing? He looks at your brother and he says, you're a lion. He looks at you and he goes, you're a donkey. Yeah, just meditate on that. He looks at the snake, Dan. No, man, I wonder what that went down as. You know, where his brother's like, yep, that slimy, slithery. What'd that look like? I mean, he looks at Benjamin, and he tells him he's the wolf. He gives these mascots. So all of a sudden, when people hear donkey, they think of the tribe of Issachar. Now, Issachar, later on, when they're fighting with David, David says, the tribe of Issachar, these are the ones that see the signs and they know what to do. It's amazing. How many signs are we seeing, but we don't know what to do? How many? Both services, I said, Christmas just happens too quick, and man, everybody nodded. How many of us see the signs and know what to do? When you hear donkey, hear that we pause and we look at the signs. And we know what to do. Well, the next time donkey shows up is I'll talk about this one in about 3 weeks because I don't have time. But it's Balaam and the donkey, and I can tell that story later. But this is another thing that's just attached to donkey. How loud does God have to talk before we listen? How loud does God have to get before we pay attention? Amen. Amen. Yeah, sometimes God has to scream. He's been whispering all along. And so Advent's this time where we go, hold on, God, we're going to slow down and listen. Let's see what else we got. Oh, yeah, I got to tell you this one. Because it's from the best book in the Bible, which all of you know by now, that's Exodus. So in Deuteronomy, flip here because this is so incredible. And this sets up the narrative. You've got thing one, where the first donkey is one that says, I'm doing a new thing. You've got the next donkey where it's going, I'm going to give you signs all along the way. You've got a next donkey that goes, if you don't pay attention to the signs, I'm going to scream. You've got the next donkey. That in Deuteronomy 17, the children of Israel are entering promised land, and it says this starting in verse 14. When you come to the land that the Lord your God will give you, and when you possess it, and then say, I will set a king over me, like all the other nations around me. You may intend to set a king over you, whom the Lord your God has chosen, one from your brothers. You shall set his king over you. You shall not put a foreign king over you, not you or your brothers. Only he must not acquire horses for himself or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses, since the Lord has said this to you. See, what was going on is there's this way of doing power. There's this way of gaining power, and that's symbolized by the horses. How many horses you got? Things have changed. When you look at a car, nobody ever asks that anymore. What's the horsepower? Now, see, God said, no, we're not going to measure power that way. The way I do things is different. And for that reason, David said, I'm not riding a horse. I'm riding a donkey. See, I hope you're catching this. all of these. From the way it's set up, that I'm doing a new thing, to the next donkey who says, see the signs and know what to do, to the next donkey that goes, I'm going to go out of control to get your attention, to the next donkey that says, I'm doing a new thing. All of these are pointing to the cross. Don't miss it. All of them are going, you think power's by lording it over? No, my power's by sacrifice. You think power's by coming in on a stallion? No, I'm coming in on a donkey. You think you can earn it by doing enough good? No, I love you exactly where you are because I'm your God. And I'm going to leave heaven and come to earth. And so our scripture reading that kicks off this time of preparation is one about a donkey. See, I think sometimes that we don't see the sign because we don't know the story. To see the sign, we have to know the narrative. What's it look like this Advent to stop and spend some more time in Scripture? See, we're starting now because what I found is the season shifted. It's not Advent yet, but Advent's the time of preparation for Christmas, and really in our society today, Christmas starts on Thanksgiving. If you're not paddling before that wave hits you, you're going to be swept up in it. As you're thinking through your Christmas plans, your holiday plans, ask the question, is this pointing to Jesus? Is this telling the story of a God who died for me? See, all of this was put in place long, long ago. Who loved the extra hour of sleep today? Okay, two of you. Who is getting a little bit bummed out because we know it's just getting darker and darker and darker and darker? Yeah, by the way, I wrote it up there. What's the next slide there? Yeah, 46 more days of losing light. From now until December 21st, it's just going to get darker. 30 minutes, 50 seconds less light than we have today. That's what the whole world's telling us. I mean, back in Genesis 1:14, when God hung the lights, he said, let these lights be signs for the season. And isn't that the sign that we need in the middle of us? That is all the darkness floods the world. Is every day, if your life's like mine, you flip on the news. Anybody else just sick of seeing more darkness every time you turn it on? Yeah. But see, when we're donkey people, when we see the signs and we know what to do, we know that on December 21st, it switches. Because on December 25th, the light of the world comes and dwells among us. And we're not waiting for that December 25th. Jesus has already came. And how do we turn our hearts toward Jesus during this Advent? I challenge you to think about this now so when the Thanksgiving wave hits, you're already paddling. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for giving us signs. Thank you for giving us a new way that we're not dependent on our own works, but that you sacrificed your son for us. God, teach us to walk your path, to delight in your ways. God, fix our eyes on you this season, and let us celebrate all that you've already done in leaving heaven and coming to earth. And God, hear us even as we pray the perfect prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory forever and ever.